Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. Book of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the first two verses. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our Father, as we come to your word, we recognize that it is you who brings us light. And Lord, in your word, we find knowledge of you, the truth. Lord, would you open us up to receive it as it is, the truth that we may hear and obey, rejoice, and be refreshed this morning. Would you meet your people now in your word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to start a new series on the book of 2 Peter. Pastor Eric did a series on 1 Peter a number of years ago. If you want to hear those, you can go back and listen to those sermons. Today we're going to pick up 2 Peter. Now this is just a short letter, but it is packed. It is bursting with wisdom and insight, challenge and confrontation. There's warnings and hope. You're going to find in here the glories of God and the bright morning star, the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. And you're also going to find floods and raining sulfur and the chains of dungeon and gloomy darkness awaiting the fires of hell. That's true. It's there. It's a wonderful letter. And as we come under this word, we will see that God has so much for us in it. And we want to open up our hearts and minds to receive what the Spirit is saying. So 2 Peter. The Apostle Peter, whom we know and love, is the author of this letter. He identifies himself right there in verse 1. Simeon, or Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Peter. This is the one who walked with Jesus. He walked on water. He was there at the Transfiguration. He was there at the Last Supper. He was the one who denied Jesus at the crucifixion. He was reinstated. He performed mighty miracles. He was a leader in the early church. He was broken out of prison by an angel. He has seen the risen Lord, and he has confronted some of the most powerful men of his day. He was there when it all happened, and he saw it all with his own eyes. This is Peter, and now he's writing this letter. And more, he is at this point at the end of his ministry, nearing the end of his life. He's about to die. Verse 14 of chapter 1, he says it. I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. So Peter's an older man at this time. His time is up. His ministry is coming to an end. He knows it. He's going to die a martyr's death in a little while. So that sets this up rather starkly, does it not? If you knew you were going to die, what would your last message be to your loved ones? What would be on your heart? That's a thought. What would you want to say? So what is Peter most concerned about in this particular moment? What's the message as he faces the end of his life? We're going to find out. So, Peter is the author. Who are the recipients? This we also find in verse 1. He says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to take a little bit of unpacking, and we're going to get to that. But for now, just note that the recipients are believers. They're Christians. People of true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter's at the end of his life and ministry. He writes one final letter to the church, to believers everywhere. He doesn't mention a specific place to the church in, but he mentions a specific people, believers. He's writing to Christians everywhere. He's writing to us. Now, here is the question that I want you to keep in the back of your mind as we move forward through this entire book. This is the question. This is, if I can put it so bluntly, the key to understanding this book. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? That's the question. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? The answer to that question, where that knowledge comes from, is the difference between the bright and morning star and gloomy dungeons. It really is that important, okay? I'm giving you the key. Hang on to it. And we're going to unlock the door together in the weeks ahead. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? Keep that up there. So back in verse 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a remarkable opening. On the one side, we have the writer, Peter, right? An apostle, walked on water, worked miracles, saw Jesus glorified on the mountain. He has authority over the people of God. He is rightfully considered one of the pillars of the faith. He's a part of the foundation itself, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, right? This great proclaimer of Christ, the rock upon which Christ built his church, in every way, Peter is utterly extraordinary. He towers over the church as one who wrote Scripture, and he still speaks with apostolic authority to us today through the Word of God. This is the mighty Peter. What a life, what a story, what God did through him. And then on the other side, there's the recipients, the normal, everyday Christian, those who have faith. It's nothing extraordinary, just plain believers living their plain life. It's you, it's me, common Christians. I've never walked on water, unless you count the time I went ice fishing. I've never seen the glorified Christ. I can't lay my hands on someone and bring them back from the dead. I'm just plain. I certainly don't write Scripture. And none of us have apostolic authority. Not even the Pope. For our Catholic friends. And yet, Peter says that he and you are the same. You catch that? He says of equal standing. We're the same in that we have equal standing before God. Before God, Peter's nothing special. He stands shoulder to shoulder with you in the crowd. He's just plain. He's one of many. And you wonder, what's going on here? Like, is Peter humbling himself to identify with the little man? Is this a holy humbling on his part, like the great apostle, stooping to relate to ordinary people? Not at all. He absolutely means what he says. Equal standing. You wonder, how can he say that? His life was so special. He had such a connection and a calling. He's extraordinary, and I am so plain. And he says that because no matter who you are, how great or how small, there is only one way to peace with God that we all must walk, and that is through Jesus Christ and his cross. Peter has no righteousness of his own, just like you don't, just like I don't. He didn't raise anyone from the dead on his own. He didn't walk on water by his own power. He didn't write Scripture by his own interpretation. He comes to God the same way we all do, repentance and faith. There's one door. He has the exact same thing to offer to God that the rest of us do, which is nothing. No one does good, not one. No one seeks after God, not even Peter. He was dead with us in our sins and our trespasses, and while we were all dead, That is, before we chose anything, God chose us. And while we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us, the ungodly. Peter is in that group, the same as the rest of us. Now, there's a reason why that's so terribly important. Yes, Peter has had incredible grace upon his life. His life has been extraordinary. None of us will live his life. In that way, he's special. But then he says, I'm just like you. Don't think of me as special because I have this great grace of God upon my life. He identifies himself. I'm the Apostle Peter. Everyone knows what that means. And he says, but just hold it. I'm just like you. Equal standing. I have had this great grace of God upon my life, yes. What he wants us to know, if you want increased grace and peace upon your life, great blessing and power, you can have it. And he's going to tell us what you need is knowledge. He says it there in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said, I'm just like you. It is the same faith, the same access to the same God. You want extraordinary? You can have extraordinary. And it comes through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace multiplying in our lives, in our plain lives, multiplying. This is to abundance and flowing over all you could ever need, and it comes through knowledge, knowing God. You know what that means? That means that his peace isn't locked up somewhere. It's not hidden away from you. It's not inaccessible that you may or may not get. It might show up once in a while. Grace isn't something that God just hands out in tiny little drops. That's barely enough to survive off of. No, it comes in abundance, in multiplying. Peter says, multiplying grace and peace. Sometimes we can think it's so small, like I'm struggling so much. I have no peace. I'm so weak. Why is it so small? And Peter's telling us where to get it. It's not rationed out. Jesus said that God will give the Spirit without measure, and he gives it through knowing him. It means that the door to his peace is not locked. It's open. You can walk right in. The knowledge of God, which brings peace, is sitting in your hands right now. It's not locked. It's open. You want some? Come get some. So do you want an increase of grace and peace in your life? Do you want more of him? More power to overcome in your trials? More courage when you're threatened? More strength, more joy when your trials threaten to bring you down? Who doesn't want, need the grace of God to help? And the key to that increase of grace is knowledge. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. That's the means. That's how we get it. Sometimes we sit and wait. Lord, give me peace. And then you sit in turmoil for the rest of your days, wondering why the Lord hasn't given you peace. And Peter says, peace will come in the knowledge of God. We need this knowledge. That's what we need. Now, this is what becomes so crucial to us as we go through this letter. Because you are going to have many in your life coming to you with knowledge to share, claiming the title of teacher. You could have 50 false teachers before you have lunch just by opening your phone. We live in a day when we are surrounded by teachers. Many who want your ear and your heart. There's all kinds of knowledge out there, piles of it. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? What's the knowledge? What do you know? Peter has just said here at the outset, an increase of grace and peace to you will come through knowledge. But what kind? Well, he says it's the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about any old knowledge. He's talking about the truth about God, about who he is, what he has done, what he has revealed, and the promises he has made. It's a very specific kind of knowledge in that it's true. It's true. And so you need to seriously ask yourself the question, where's your knowledge coming from? Who are your teachers? What are they telling you? Because as Peter is going to warn us, false teachers will lead you to destruction. They will be destroyed themselves, and they will destroy you. They will lead you away from the faith, away from God, away from grace and peace, and into lies, and eventually to destruction. There's a reason why the scriptures say teachers will be judged more harshly. Because people listen. Now, to be sure, we all need teachers. The Bible tells us that God has given the church teachers. We are to have them. It's good. They are a blessing. They're a gift. We should be thankful for them and listen to them. All of us need people in our lives to shepherd us. Someone who knows more than I do to help me find the way. We need teachers. They are a gift. God does not intend for us to be an island insisting on learning everything for ourselves. God has given us teachers. It's good. He says, listen to them. Listen to them. They're a gift. But we need to make sure that we are receiving the truth and not lies. So here I want to ask you a personal question. Who are you listening to? Who has your ear? By what knowledge are you navigating your life? Some of you have learned long ago the knowledge that God is angry with you. Deep in your hearts, you just know that he's going to get you if you step out of line. You've learned to be afraid of him. You just know if you mess up, he's going to get you. Is that the knowledge you live by? Is that what you know? Who told you that? Who told you that? So that now when you walk, when you go through life, it's step by cringing step. All your life you're afraid, never sure if you're getting it right or if you've done enough. And every trial that comes along, you feel guilty, like God is frowning at you. And you're disheartened in life. Is that what you have learned about God? Some of us have. And let me tell you, that's not true. That is not true knowledge. That's going to ruin your life. You will find no grace and no peace there. It's not true. No, we need to know the true God, who he has revealed himself to be. Jesus said, come to me and you'll find what? He says, you'll find rest. You'll find rest for your souls. Some of us go and find turmoil. That's not who he is. He is the God of rest. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? Peter wants us to have knowledge so that grace and peace would multiply in our life. Can you say that about your life? It's multiplying. Grace and peace is multiplying in my life. Sometimes that's hard to say, because I'm just afraid of an angry God who's out to get me. Some of you may think that God doesn't see a secret sin. He doesn't see it. Or maybe you wouldn't put it that way so directly, but you live that way. Maybe God sees, but he's really not going to do anything. I've got it under control. It's not a big deal. I've gone on this way for years and years. He doesn't really do anything. And you navigate your life by this knowledge, presuming upon the grace and kindness of God and assuming now that he will not expose you in your sin. This also is false knowledge of God. And when you eventually come before Him, and you will, and you stand exposed in the light, you will learn what it means when the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What knowledge do you have? Is it true? You are navigating your life with some kind of knowledge, and with that knowledge, you will make your decisions. But what you're going to do with your life, your beliefs shape your mind. They shape your thinking. They shape how you feel about things. They shape what you say to others. And this letter from Peter is full of insight into right knowledge, how to get it, where to find it, and hard warnings about the dangers of false knowledge and false teachers. Sometimes we are our own false teacher, isn't that true? One more example. It might be that your teacher is the news or social media, the internet in general. That might be your teacher. And what knowledge is that teacher giving you? That you should be afraid? Afraid of what's happening in the world? Afraid of politics or World War III, the next disease, the next disaster? Afraid that you are helpless before the next oncoming threat? Or have you learned that, you know what, you really ought to be miserable for any number of reasons? Because you can't have certain things. You don't look a certain way. You don't live a certain style. Life isn't as exciting as you think it ought to be. What are you learning? Have you learned to scroll so fast that you have forgotten how to just sit and meditate on the Word of God? Can you still do that? I read a report recently where they said young people who have grown up with phones and devices are less and less able to sit and read a chapter of a book. They can't concentrate that long. Their minds have been formed by the instant clicking, 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 the dopamine hit by just hit, 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 scroll, scroll, scroll. And you ask them to sit and read a book, and it's like, I can't concentrate. Some of that is learned by an online teacher. So do you consider what God's Word has to say about what you are doing online, who you're listening to? Does God have anything to say about it? Does He have anything to say about the news? Yes, He does. What knowledge are you navigating your life by? Is it doom and gloom, fear and tears, or does the Bible have the final say about what you are believing? Do you accept how the Bible tells you to feel about your circumstances? Because it tells you not to worry. How are you doing with that? Don't worry. Do not be afraid. Cast your anxieties before God. And there you are. I'm worried. I'm afraid. I'm stressed. I don't have. What are your teachers telling you? By what knowledge are you navigating your life? We have all kinds of teachers. Often we haven't even noticed them. And they're telling us all kinds of things. Peter wants us to have the right kind of knowledge, the knowledge of God. Now, our journey through this letter is going to be one of learning the difference between right knowledge and wrong knowledge, and how to make sure that we're getting the right kind. If God is the God of rest, why do I don't find Him restful? What is it that I think I know about Him? That's going to cut deep into our hearts, exposing a lot of things that we may have come to believe that we haven't even realized. Now, one more thing to know as we orient ourselves to this book, as we get ready for the weeks ahead, as we're kind of priming the pump here, when the Bible talks about this kind of knowledge, the knowledge that we want, this kind of knowledge that increases the grace of God in our life, that increases the peace of God in our lives, it's talking about a very specific kind of knowledge. It's much more than head knowledge. It's way more than just what you got up there. The knowledge he is talking about is knowledge that is received by faith. True knowledge is received by faith. If you're a note taker, write that down. True knowledge is received by faith. And why is that so important? Well, remember James. He says, the demons have knowledge. They have knowledge of God. Yes, they do. It's real knowledge. They know that there is one God, and they tremble with fear at the thought. They know. But that knowledge does them no good, does it? They're still condemned. In the same way, we can know that God is God. We know that He judges all things. He is sovereign and good, but not have it affect our hearts. We haven't received it by faith. God has said, don't worry. I'm going to worry. God has said He's going to judge all things. I'm going to see if I can get away with this secret sin. Yes, He's sovereign and good. I know that. I know that. Thank you for telling me what I already know. And it doesn't affect our hearts. It's not received by faith. Those words should rattle the cage. Sometimes the demons have more of a response to the truth of God than we do. The demons believe and shudder with fear. We can believe and shrug with indifference. The right knowledge of God is received by faith. The knowledge that Peter is talking about is not the same knowledge that the demons have. He's talking about knowledge that is received and believed by faith. You hear it, you receive it, you believe it, you give thanks for it. By the way, that's how you know you've truly received it. Sometimes you wonder, how do I know I'm receiving it? When you give thanks for it. Joyful, genuine thanks for it. That's how you know. If you don't believe it's true, you won't be thankful. There's nothing to be thankful for. It's not true. Maybe it's true for you, but it hasn't worked out in my life, and there's no thanksgiving, right? And I have this head knowledge. Yeah, God delivers us out of our troubles, but not mine. That's knowledge. But it's not the knowledge Peter's talking about. It's not received by faith. The one who hears the word and says, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is going to turn out for my good. For a moment there, I thought this diagnosis or this accident was going to be a disaster in my life. Thank you, Lord, that even this you turn to my good. And though the tears still come, you are thankful, for you know by faith that God is good and He is sovereign. It's not a mental exercise, it's true. And suddenly grace and peace appears to the one who has that faith. And people can look at you and say, you just had that terrible accident, a diagnosis, some disastrous thing, and yet you're so peaceful. Why? I don't understand. And you're like, exactly, it passes all understanding, doesn't it? I have received by faith the one who turns even this to my good. And though I'm hurting, though the tears come, I am thankful, and I've put my hope in the one who has told me the truth. The demons aren't thankful at all that there's a God in heaven who does all that He pleases. They're not thankful. Are we thankful that there is a God in heaven who does all that He pleases, even through the difficult seasons of our life? That's the difference. And there is only one kind of person who can receive this knowledge with thanksgiving, and Peter has identified that person for us. There's only one kind of person who can receive that. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Well, we know who that you is. We already discovered it. It's true believers. Peter says in verse 1, to true believers, to you, may grace and peace increase through the knowledge of God. The knowledge that we need only comes by faith in what God has said in His word. That's it. That's the knowledge we want, the kind that believes. We receive peace by believing the word of God. That is the way. The point of battle is whether we believe or not. That unlocks it. By what you think you know, by what knowledge are you navigating your life? If it's the wrong knowledge, the peace of God stays behind that door and you can't get to it. But it's not locked. God has revealed His truth. He has revealed His will. He has revealed His promises. He has revealed His love and His grace. And as you come to know Him more and more and more, and we're going to learn how to do that as we go through, your grace that's given to you, your peace that's given to you, is going to multiply. It's going to multiply to overflowing, to joy and thanksgiving. To you who are struggling, who are burdened in your life, and we all get there. Some of you are there right now. The burdens are just crushing. Jesus says, come. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That is his teaching. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that the Jesus you know? Do you know the one who doesn't crush you, but the one who lifts you? The one who doesn't lay heavy burdens on you to break you down, but the one who lifts the burdens from you to bear you up? Do you know him? Can you still see him when you got the weight of the world on your shoulders, when the disaster comes, the diagnosis comes, and the heartache comes, and the question comes? Do you know him? By what knowledge are you navigating your life? No matter what happens in your life, this doesn't change. It's the same. It's always the same. It's an anchor. It's a rock. It's a foundation. You go back to it and say, okay, now I'm in it, boy. Now the worst of my fears has come true. Are you going to navigate your life by the knowledge of your fear? Or will you navigate your life by the knowledge of the Word? Grace and peace comes through believing his word, receiving the knowledge of God. Jesus says you will find rest. That's his promise. We can be free from our burdens even as we go through our trials. You don't have to live afraid, defeated, ashamed. Jesus offers himself, and in him is life. Come to him and you will find grace and peace. He gives rest, not turmoil. What Jesus do you know? Do you believe that? Do you know him, or have you believed something else? The devil's going to lie to you. The devil will lie about who Jesus is. He's been a liar from the beginning. And he continues to lie. Sometimes he can convince you about something. Something about God that's not true. And we don't even realize that we're believing a lie. It gets so deep in our minds. It's rooted in so deep from so long ago, you've repeated 1,000 times, you don't even examine it anymore because it's just what you've come to know. And we wonder, I've lost my joy. Where did it go? I've lost my peace. We long for peace, but cannot find it. Where is his peace? And Peter's telling us, turn your eyes to what God has said in his word, his promises, the knowledge of God. They are there for you, Christian. They're true. Believe them. And in believing, the peace will come. It is through the knowledge of God, believing it, that you find peace again, that grace abounds to us, and then that we are filled with joy and thanksgiving. To the measure that you believe him will your burden be lifted. That's true. The battle point is belief. You know, when Jesus was talking about forgiving 70 times 7, and the apostles are dismayed, and they say, increase our faith. Like, that's hard. How am I going to do that? All this injustice and all this sin, like, I can't do that. Increase. And what is Jesus' response? Oh, you don't need an increase. You need that much. Because it's not you that does it, it's God that does it. Is your faith genuine? Do you believe in the one who gives power, grace, and peace to overcome such a trial? Is there faith at all? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We're looking for genuine faith, believing in what he has said, so that you are not navigating your life by your circumstances or by your feelings, but by the word of God. Oh, now you're a rock. Peace that passes all understanding. You don't have to go through life defeated or confused. Jesus offers himself, and in him is life. Come to him and you will find grace and peace. Do you believe that? So the devil's going to lie to you. And Peter says, turn your eyes to what God has said in his word, his promises, they are for you. So hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying right now. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is God's will for you. You don't have to wonder about God's will for you. This is His God's will. This is God's will for you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's the blessing. It's His will. It is His will that you know Him. He says, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I will give you peace. You will find rest for your souls, and then the joy will come again. The sun will rise when it was dark, and you will know Him. By what knowledge are you navigating your life? These first two verses of 2 Peter are densely packed with all that we need to move forward to understand this book, everything that's coming our way, and there's a lot. Faith is the door. The way to an equal standing with God is all the mighty prophets and apostles of old. Equal standing. That's you. That's me. We stand shoulder to shoulder with these giants. We come. Not in gifting or calling, we are not that, but equal standing in the faith. And this faith is our bold entrance into the Holy of Holies. We come into God's presence and we can know Him. He has told us and He has invited us to come. Taste and see that He is good. Learn to know what is true, what He has revealed in His Word. And in knowing Him, we receive a multiplying of grace and peace. The door isn't locked. All that you need is waiting for you. Through the knowledge of God, He pours out His love into our hearts. Happy is the man who knows God truly. Do you know Him? By what knowledge have you been navigating your life? What lies have you come to believe that cast a shadow over your heart, continually casting shadows? That is worth examining. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We walk that path, and you will find grace, peace, joy, and thanksgiving. That is a promise. Based on the Word of God, that is a promise. He will bring you out. Grace, peace, multiplying in your life, leading to joy and thanksgiving. That is a promise. Through the knowledge of Him, that's the knowledge we need. It is there. Do you know that? Do you know it? May God shine the light of His Word on your heart today, that in believing, you will find grace and peace from your Father who loves you. In knowing Him, may your soul find rest. Let's pray. Our Father, what an unspeakable blessing to be invited to know You, to be invited to know the living God, and so to walk in an abundance of grace and peace. Lord, in our turmoil-filled lives and all our trials and challenges, our doubts and our fears, we are so easily swept away. And we forget that which is true. Father, in the weeks and months ahead, as we walk through 2 Peter, Lord, would You open up its riches to us, that we may see You, know You, behold Your glory, and walk in that grace and that peace, that there would be joy and thanksgiving, even though there are tears, even though there are trials and disappointments and pain in this life. Lord, may the joy set before us give us endurance and perseverance, that in that joy and the promise of that joy, we walk in the truth now, and the peace that passes all understanding guards us. Oh, Father, may we know You. Would You show us Your glory through Your Word? We are looking to You in Jesus' name. Amen.